sunshine, little Uber, liver, liver.
Good evening and welcome to As the Worm Turns. You are tuned into KVNF's live call-in gardening show. I'm your host, Jill Spears, here with Lance and Lulu this evening. Lulu's back. Good evening, both of you.
Hi, everybody. It's so good to be back.
Great to have you on the live call-in gardening show.
Live call-in
gardening show. That's 527-486-8186 KVNF. Now, actually, Lulu, when you were gone, we had one night that was super high tech. We had calls and emails coming in all night.
Wow.
Worm at kvnf.org. Yeah.
Wow, that's so cool.
It was pretty high tech.
Yep. Mm-hmm. Well, I wish somebody would hide my tech so I could figure it out, but that's another story.
Well, we got Jeff here to do that for
yes,
us.
Yes, thank God.
527-486-8186 KVNF now, and we are on August 15th, so middle of August. Cooler temperatures here for now.
Oh, you know what? Today was the second day of Woodstock.
Oh, really?
Or,
how many years
wait.
Ago?
Yeah, I think it was 14, 15, and 16, August 1969.
1969, taking us back.
Mm-hmm.
Looked like it was hot out in Woodstock.
No, it rained.
Oh, it did? Were you there?
No, I was trying to get there, but I didn't. It's a long story, but anyway. No,
okay. But it is feeling cooler, and I'm mm-hmm. loving it.
Yeah, it's
yeah,
very nice.
Me too.
Little okay. treats of rain here and
little
there.
Little treats. I mean, mm-hmm. I'm sort of ready for some warmer weather just because I want my melons and cucumbers to.
Yeah.
You know, I'm getting some cucumbers, but the melons need to ripen yet.
Mm-hmm. And that's what they need is that heat.
Heat.
Yeah, okay. My cucumbers are tiny still because I planted so late.
Yeah.
But the basil that I planted for my pesto crop
uh-huh.
is doing beautifully.
Yeah.
It's very happy.
You got basil and arugula going,
oh, man.
Cuckoo.
Yeah, cuckoo is right.
Mm-hmm.
And sorrel.
And sorrel, uh-huh. yeah. And that's your pesto.
Yeah, that's my pesto, yeah.
Garden right there, right?
Yeah, and mm-hmm. I've got the second planting of basil. In a week or two, we'll be ready to start picking.
Mm-hmm. And that's your last planting?
Yeah, no more basil.
Okay, no more, yeah. And mm-hmm. mine will come just, yours will be ready in about a week or two, mm-hmm. and mine will be just a little after that.
Uh-huh.
And that'll be the pesto basil.
Mm-hmm.
Because there's going to be a lot of it.
There's going to be a lot of it.
Well, that's
it's going
right.
to be spicy and good.
Yeah.
Hey, 527-486-8186 KVNF. Now, you know, last week and the week before, we were talking about that rove beetle.
Mm-hmm.
And Nuna from.
Is it
Duna
a rove?
From Norwood.
Is it a rove or a rogue?
Rove.
Rove, R-O-V-E.
Like the gypsy rover came
yes.
over the hill?
Yes.
There you go.
Yeah.
And you did a little bit of research on
yeah,
that.
Yeah, I looked
it
up in my insect book, and this is just like a field guide and not much description, but the rove beetle, there's almost 3,000 varieties in North America.
Ooh.
Isn't that amazing? I love that.
And so they just only had two pictures in here in this book. And then the other thing is they are predators of other insects, and they also eat organic matter. And the other one was they can be parasites. So they're quite
beneficial.
And
mm-hmm.
it's just, you know, was it Daryl in Peach Valley? Is that who that was?
Right.
Mm-hmm. And you know, so it's a shock to see extreme populations all of a sudden show up. And that's what happened for them.
Right.
But they're actually a beneficial, and I suspect that they were eating not just insects, but also the organic matter.
Okay. All right. Daryl and Duna in Norwood and Lance with his field guide. Solve that mystery of 3,000 beetles.
Right? I wonder if your field guide has that real cool beetle that I saw earlier this year. I only saw the one.
That's right, the one you drew a picture
right,
of.
That had the Lance handed me the book. Oh, no.
Oh, you could get lost
oh,
in
yeah,
that
forget
thing.
It. Uh-huh.
That's a late night with a glass of wine right,
right?
there.
Tequila.
Right.
Yeah, because.
A worm.
Mezcal, there you go. Oh, boy, save us from ourselves.
Right, 527-486-8186, KVNF now. All right, that's good information. And I have to ask, just because I've been asked on the street about it, those Dane box elder bugs just multiplying right before our eyes. And your advice on what to do about that, Lance?
Well, I haven't had that much experience with them. I have a few places I go where they're really bad, and it's box elders, trees, and that's what they eat.
Mm-hmm.
And you really need to clean up all the debris because that's where they're, you know, wanting to hide out and stuff like that.
Right.
And they really just eat in box elder bugs, but they're in such high concentrations or populations that it's – and they will come in for the winter.
Okay.
Yeah,
so right,
that's the
right.
thing. They get in the house and – and they do. They come. I don't know how they do it. They get in under everywhere. So
every which way they can.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Make sure your shop vac is ready.
Yeah,
okay. And just get on them over the winter.
Yeah.
And get your stuff cleaned up, and maybe next year they'll be diminished.
In the spring they had the Delta Farm and Garden Show.
Yeah,
and they had that insert in the shopper, and in that insert was a whole article on how to deal with box elder bugs.
Okay.
So either you can look it up online with the Delta, that
Farm and Home Show in Delta County.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Or the High Country Shopper had info in there. All right. Good luck with the box elder bugs.
I think they might eat maple trees a little bit
well.
Well,
they're almost
because it's the same species.
There you go.
What mm-hmm. not species, genus, whatever.
Yeah, there's box elder or maples on this property that we're talking about.
Yeah, mm-hmm. So there you
have
it.
That makes sense.
Yeah, you know what? They're bird food. Don't get too excited about them. They really are. Boy, the birds love them.
Uh-huh.
Mm-hmm. Nice. Yeah.
They don't stink. They don't smell bad. They're easy to eat. They're up in the tree. You know, it's like, come and get it.
Right. Okay, good advice. 527-486-8186 KVNF now. Speaking of birds, you've got some birds picking at your garden there. Last week it was lettuce. They were eating lettuce, the baby birds.
The baby birds were eating the baby lettuce.
Oh,
and that seems to have
next week.
Yeah. And now there's some bird, because I haven't seen them, that's pecking the plumps. Mm-hmm. I actually have a very good crop of all my plumps, and I'm losing 80%.
Oh, that's
no way.
Not good, because those are tasty little
You better
birds.
Go to war.
Yeah.
What are you going to do?
Yeah, you better come up with some. This beetle book is amazing.
We can hear you.
You can.
Paging through it in my left tinnitus here.
Oh, God.
Yes.
Hey, we've got Dan from up on Log Hill on the line with a question about pumpkins. Hi, Dan.
Hello.
Hi.
How are you guys tonight?
Good.
Fabulous.
How are you doing?
Pretty good. So we're talking cooking pumpkins here. In the last couple of years, I get them up real good. They're very vigorous plants, nice and green, put out a million blossoms. Start setting out a bunch of pumpkins. They don't get to any size. So this year I started nipping the buds, you know, quite a few, like trying to do even 50%, but I'm still not getting much fruit set. What secrets do you have for pumpkins?
Mm.
Wow.
Yeah. My first question is how much bees are there or insects pollinating?
I think there's enough. I mean, all my other, you know, pollinating plants do pretty well. I don't really do a count or anything, but there's a decent number around.
Right. And you said you're growing the small pie pumpkins?
Yes, right.
Right.
And what's your elevation there?
It's about 7,700.
Okay.
Oh, Dad.
It's cool at night, but...
Yeah.
I mean, I don't know, maybe I'm getting too excited. The plants just do great, but I just don't get much fruit set, and maybe that's...
Can you tell the difference between male and female flowers?
No, never tried.
Okay, well, the male flower is just a flower on a stem.
The
female flower actually has a baby pumpkin.
Pumpkin behind it.
Okay,
so I have noticed that. I do know that then.
All right, so if you're going to cut blossoms off, you cut the males off.
Okay.
To stimulate more female blossoms. And then the other thing is you can, in the morning or in the evening, go out there this evening and mark the male flowers and the female flowers that are going to open tomorrow.
Okay.
And take a feather in the morning and
oh,
go
and
from male flower to female flower.
Okay. Okay.
You know, and do it that way.
Cool.
And you got to keep doing it generously. You can take a... feather. I mean, what
fine,
else?
Fine paintbrush.
Little paintbrush to get the male pollen onto the female.
Yeah.
And the reason they're not getting that big is because they aren't getting quite pollinated. And I've had some friends ask me if their squash are withering up here and there, winter squash and summer squash, and that's what it is.
Yeah, sometimes they just do
That's not enough pollination, and they're going to get big because they're growing seed. They're not growing
seed. Actually, that's a good point. I do have both zucchini and summer squash adjacent to the pumpkins, and the summer squash is doing terrific.
Uh-huh.
Zucchini is doing okay. I've only got two plants, and I've maybe got, I don't know, six or eight fruit off of that so far.
Yeah. Yeah, the other thing is all of those will cross-pollinate. They're all pepos in the squash variety. So you could even take some pollen from those summer squash onto the pumpkins. You're not saving seed at this point.
Yeah, so you don't really care.
Yeah, you want pollination for the squash to get the to get the pumpkins.
Interesting. Very good. That's great information.
Right.
Thank you. I'll give it a try.
All right. Thanks, Jan.
Thank you.
Great question and good advice. I'm anxious to hear how that turns out.
Yeah,
I am too. Mm-hmm. You're going to have to call us back and let us know how it comes out.
Hand pollinating is what you're doing.
Yeah, mm-hmm.
And the fact that those are all pepos, so if that summer squash is doing really good and you've got some flowers
The pollen's probably really good on those guys right now.
Right.
You know, so.
Uh-huh.
So my zucchini plants.
Yeah, let's hear about that.
Well, you know, I always go for the Godzilla zucchinis, right? So that's what I've got.
Well, that's what happens when you take a break.
Yeah, that's what happens when you go away. So now it's great. You know, I don't have that in, you know, mounds of zucchini everywhere. No, I just have, you know, a bunch of Godzilla out there. Yeah, and then the yellow squash. That I really would love to come up with a good way to keep yellow squash through the winter.
Uh-huh.
And I just... You know, yellow squash soup, but you can only eat so much of it. And the yellow squash are getting big now, too.
Mm-hmm. Now, is this a crookneck or just a yellow zucchini?
No, it's a yellow, but it's not a zucchini. It's nubbly.
Okay.
So it's, you know, kind of, if I do want to... I don't know what I'm going to do.
Are you talking storage-wise?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
You know, how to keep it for the winter, because you don't freeze it.
No.
It doesn't freeze, and you know, and it...
Can you just let it get big like zucchini?
That's what I'm going to try.
And then, let it store just like...
Yeah, and it's kind of where I'm going with it.
Yeah.
And then when you want to eat it, you just, you know, you eat it from the inside out like you do when you make those big zoo canoes, you know, and you stuff it.
I think that's
what I'm going to do.
Yeah, just let it get big. And
it's
amazing how long those giant zucchinis and summer squash will last.
My giant zucchini, I was making chocolate zucchini cake,
two weeks ago. That's right, you reported that.
Yep.
Yeah, so maybe the same thing can happen with that squash.
And then you could yellow... Whoa.
Ooh,
I don't know. Yellow
with a tomato.
Butterscotch chocolate.
Yeah, and then you could put some
blonde brownies.
Stuff it with, red peppers and tomatoes.
Yeah, it could be very pretty.
Yeah.
Gorgeous.
Yeah.
Hey, our friend Anthony is on the line. Good evening, sir.
Oh, hi, guys.
Hi
Anthony.
Maybe because I just have a little comment about box elder bugs.
Oh,
good. We're in.
I've lived several places over in Longmont, and actually my parents live up by CMU in the old part of Junction. Have two huge pox ostriches. They were the ones who prevailed on me for my experience. But no, so Whitney Grimes Cranshaw told me a long time ago, let me plug his book, Pest of the West. Everybody should read it. It's an awesome book.
Uh-huh.
It probably has those rogue beetles in it somewhere. But anyway, when they come out, The adult ones, you know, we used to call them lightning bugs. They're red and black when they're hard, and, you know, when they're adult.
Mm-hmm.
They'll come out in the spring having overwintered, okay? And once it starts to really warm up, whenever that may be, like February here this year, but if it's warm for a couple of days, you'll find them all grouped up, I suppose, breeding and stuff on the south side, southwest side.
Mm-hmm.
They come with nothing stronger than Windex. They'll take them out. Because when you find them in those clusters like that, think about it. I mean, I don't know how many babies they have, 50 or something.
Uh-huh.
You're taking out a whole generation.
A generation, right?
Yeah, that's a great strategy. We've
Windex.
Talked about that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
That's where you want to hit them.
You know, when they're little tiny, when they hatch out, they have a long proboscis nose thing. And they will bite you down on the ankles. Yeah. Yeah, they do. Yes, they do.
Yes, okay.
They do. Not.
That, sounds that's like why it's happened.
It's the little babies that are like sticking into the leaves and making all that goo come down on your car and stuff.
Oh, huh.
Yeah, it's their excrement. Because like Lulu was saying, I mean, I was so excited because it's like, oh, Lulu's going to tell us how to take out box elder bugs because she nukes stuff. And she's like, oh, they're cool. They're bird food. Don't worry. I'm like, you've been in Mexico. You're too chilled out.
Well, thanks for picking up the torch for her.
Yeah, there you go. Well, you can vacuum them out, too, you know. If you see them on the south side of a wall, just get the vacuum out.
Yeah, and they'll live.
Yeah.
I tried that sitting at my house in Longmont with my shop vac, and they're crawling out.
Well, it sounds like you need to dump the shop vac in the bucket of water.
Yeah.
That would be better.
Yeah.
Oh, no, nice.
Because box elders are a kind of maple, you're right. I think they do. I have some maple trees, too, though. I think that's right. I think they do sort of go on silver maples. But anyway, yeah, there you go.
All right.
I have my actual question for Lance.
Okay.
Oh, okay.
Because Lulu was talking about Woodstock. I'm like, oh, I guess I'll ask him this question.
Oh, wow.
So I had like 12 plants, I told you, of my Joe Cocker, his tomatoes, tomatoes.
Uh-huh.
Okay.
About like 8 of them are male. So now they're going to pollinate, and I'm going to have all the seed. Okay.
But, what plant is this? What plant is this?
Well, this is cannabis indica.
Oh, okay.
Okay.
These ones.
you got 8 males? That's too bad.
I know it. Wasn't that a bummer, man? Oh, but anyway, so that'll be okay, right? I mean, I'm going to get all these seeds. But so I mean, how long do I have to let those go before they'll be good for the next planting?
So you
want your males to pollinate your females?
Well, no, but they were just out there, and they've already pollinated.
Oh, well, just wait until the seeds form, and then you just take the seeds and put them somewhere, and the next spring plant them. You know, when they get dark, when they look like a seed.
Dark and brown,
and they're nice and hard and dried out. Just stash them away somewhere.
No, that's why I didn't know. Somebody else told me that. But you have to leave them on the plant.
As long as possible,
yeah.
Yes.
Until they get sort of dark, like a red stripe or black.
Green or gray. You know, they come in colors. You do. You have to wait until the seed is set and firm and, you know, not green and still in. And you know how to do that. You remember?
I don't have a good memory.
Yeah, well,
you know, we're going to be talking some cannabis here in a couple weeks.
Yeah, okay, we are.
Leave them on there and then
just
keep listening, and we'll have some
good advice on that.
But I have to tell you, Lulu, also, you can go look this up on YouTube. You were talking about Woodstock, which you missed out somehow, strangely. I was at that U2 concert in Red Rocks where there was a bloody Sunday. And the sky turned. It's a brilliant video. It's legendary. You should see it. It happened right as I started singing that song.
Oh, my God.
Wow.
Amazing.
All right.
Oh, my gosh.
YouTube Connect.
Thanks.
Thanks.
You are full of information tonight, Anthony. Awesome. Thanks for the call.
Okay. Yeah, rock on.
All right. We are.
All right. Good deal. All right, all kinds of things. Windex on the box elders. And talking about cannabis seeds.
Yeah, second day of Woodstock.
Mm-hmm. And I'm going to give the phone numbers 527-4868-1866 KVNF now. And we got something coming in, high tech email. Shout out question. Okay, this is from Marilyn. And she said, I planted shallots early last October. Later, someone told me that they should be planted in the spring here. The October ones survived the winter fine, but she went ahead and planted some in the spring, and they didn't grow well at all. However, she has a nice crop from last fall. So did she get lucky with the fall ones, and should she plant again in the fall?
I'd plant in the fall.
Yeah, I always plant in the fall, too,
The shallots like to be planted in the fall.
Okay.
My potato onions want to be in spring. But the shallots plant in the fall. And the other thing that might have happened with that spring planting, if you plant too deep, they don't want to come up. They sort of want their shoulders exposed.
To show, mm-hmm. Yeah. I had some that I planted in the spring once, and they did funny things. Mm-hmm. The fall is much better.
Yeah.
Yeah. That in the spring, they just kind of all spread out, and they didn't get big. They just got funky.
Uh-huh.
They looked, you know what they looked like to me? They looked like you shouldn't eat them. You should save them and separate uh-huh. them and then plant them in the fall.
Uh-huh.
Mm, yeah, so, not fully mature.
Yeah,
kind of,
just kind of funny.
Mm-hmm, funky. I mean,
you know, so, and there's varieties, too, of shallot. It might, mm-hmm. She might have happened to have a shallot that doesn't do well planted in the spring, and there mm-hmm. may be other shallots that do.
Yeah.
So.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, plant in the fall.
But okay. Plant in the fall, yeah.
Yeah, if that's what worked, go for it.
Yeah.
Yeah, it worked for her. So.
Yeah, if it ain't broke, don't fix
right.
it.
Right. Okay, super, it. Marilyn. 527-486-8166, KVNF now. What are you guys harvesting right now?
I was thinking about writing that list.
Because it's
because your list
big.
Is huge.
Huge. Mm-hmm. I mean, from green beans to cucumbers and, mm-hmm. and let's see, potatoes, carrots, onions. Of course, garlic's already done. Tomatoes, basil, lettuce, cilantro,
wow.
celery.
Yeah. Yeah.
It just summer squash.
Wow. Yeah. And
I don't plant beets except for fall harvest. So I'm not harvesting beets.
Okay.
See,
and you're doing beets, aren't you, Lulu?
Yeah. I plant beets and I plant them very dense, and I de-densed them.
So you could eat them?
Yeah.
Yes.
And so I de-densed them, and some of them were tiny, so I didn't even bother. But I got all the greens and stems, and then they're going to I've got a few that are in the refrigerator. I'll saute those up tonight.
Uh-huh.
And, yeah. So beets, I've got beets coming out. They're going crazy, and... You know, the big leaves on the collards are ready.
Uh-huh. Yeah,
and
my
nice.
Kale is still
yeah,
going.
Yeah, kale is going cuckoo. Beans. Oh, my God. I harvested a whole huge round of the beans called Contender, the bush bean.
Yes.
Ooh, nice.
And that makes a really fabulous cooked bean. But the French flageolets, they are just coming on.
Nice.
I can't wait.
That sounds fabulous. What are those beans that you've been harvesting, Lance? They're green with the
purple stripes.
Purple stripes.
The Cascade Giants.
Cascade Giants.
Delicious. And you can pick them smaller, but mm-hmm. they actually are better bigger.
Oh,
and if they get a little bit beyond what you would think is prime, they're still good.
Uh-huh, yeah.
And then my friend Jan from Gunnison, ooh, when they're really big, you'll find those ones that are really big. Well, she covers them in olive oil, and we put them in the sun oven with potatoes and and just eat them just like that.
Ooh,
yeah.
That sounds fabulous.
That does sound
wow.
good.
Wow.
Yeah.
Get creative.
Yeah.
Get creative.
And when they're big like that, if you don't want to eat the actual pod part, mm-hmm. it's a green shell bean.
Yeah.
You can eat
that green bean inside of it, though.
Right,
yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Fester it up with some corn.
Mm-hmm. Fester it, yeah.
Like a succotash.
Boy,
yeah.
You know, if you ever want to, you know, maybe you don't eat healthy and you feel like, I should really eat healthy, now is the time.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, my gosh, so
amen.
Much.
Yeah, if you don't do it any other time of the year, you know, now's the time.
Yeah, raspberries and plums, too.
Yeah.
Yes.
Oh, nice. Yeah. Yeah. The fruit coming
on
there.
And the grapes soon.
Oh,
I'm a long way from plums, but I have the Italian purple plums.
Yeah. Well, I have.
You have all those different varieties.
Varieties.
Yeah.
But I have one grapevine that's near the gate, and that one doesn't get as much water. So it's always 2 weeks earlier than everybody else.
Yeah,
so it's not so nice. Mm-hmm. We get to go by the gate. Oh, there's some purple grapes.
There you go.
Yeah.
Can have things laid out like mm-hmm. that.
Mm-hmm.
And you mentioned your first bed of carrots is
done.
Done.
Mm-hmm. And I'm going to take that bed and I'm going to do that same planting, the fall planting of spinach.
Oh, that's so where
I gotta
clean, going.
Mm-hmm. So I got to clean up the edges, grass has grown into it, and put compost on it. And sometime in mid to late September, I will plant that.
Okay. And you have a new bed going for asparagus. That had something to do with grapes, didn't it?
No. That's...
tell me.
I have this one bed, and just the way the mulberry trees and the fruit trees have grown, that one bed is shaded most of the day. There's maybe an hour and a half to 2 hours.
Oh, that's
when it's straight up and to the south.
Mm-hmm.
And otherwise, it is shaded. And it's like, I'm not really growing things, but I have a lot of volunteer asparagus, especially with the grapevines.
Mm-hmm.
And the grapevines want it drier and less nitrogen, and the asparagus want water and nitrogen. So I'm just going to start sticking. And I'm not going to do the whole bed. As I find these things, I will move them.
Uh-huh.
And I'll still plant. So I'm going to start at the north end because that's the most shaded. And the southern end, I'll still plant stuff in it.
Yeah. You've got some pretty shady spots in your yard, Lulu. What's optimal for you in those
areas? Well, you know, I have the peas back there this year, and that's doing really well. Valerian, if anybody likes to use valerian for making tinctures and things, mm-hmm. that does real well. I don't know. It just depends. I put leeks over in one of the gardens that is pretty shaded, and they're doing okay. They're not going to get huge and real
but
leaky.
But you do have them.
But they're there, yeah. And they'll by the time it's ready to harvest them, they'll make a fabulous, you know, soup or something. Yeah.
You know, you don't have – that's the one thing when you have these, what did you say, mediocre or not the best planting,
mm-hmm.
you can still plant in there. Just know that you're not going to get these
it's
huge –
It's not going to be huge, yeah.
Mm-hmm. But it's still going to be good.
Right.
And it's from your garden.
Yeah.
Right, exactly.
Right, right. You know? So lettuces do good in the shade.
Yeah.
Carrots do great in the shade.
And even some of the herbs.
Yes, lots of the herbs. The herbs all seem to like the shade.
Nice, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Good advice, yeah.
Yeah, so they're coming on. It's coming on. It's
everything's coming on,
You just go with the flow. I don't know.
Mm-hmm.
Move stuff around, figure it out.
Right, right.
Arugula does really well in the shade.
Uh-huh.
And then you don't have the flea beetles on it, you know, so you get this real trophy-looking
uh-huh.
arugula.
And it's a good time to plant arugula
It's a great time to plant arugula.
Arugula.
What's Henry
That's stinky Ford? Stuff.
Yeah.
Right.
Arugula. I love that joke.
Yeah, we've got time for another call. 527-486-8186 KVNF now. And you've been trimming tomatoes. We had someone call last week, Lulu, when you were out.
MIA.
MIA. Katie from Crawford, who... just couldn't get her tomatoes to ripen up. They were green, and Lance recommended
trimming them up,
and that's what you're up to this
week. Yes, and, you know, Katie, I think, you know, that she's in Crawford. That's a little bit higher, but prior to that, I would have said, yeah, my tomatoes aren't turning green, you know, but now they're just, you know, they're off the charts. Mm. I can't keep up with it now.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Those sun golds, oh. Baby. They are so sweet.
And she hasn't brought any in yet.
Oh, you know what? I am a bad girl. Next week.
They're all dripping down her chin right now. That's what they're doing.
Yeah. Well, I get so excited when they first start coming, you know, and then you start eating them, and then you realize. I looked at them today when I was thinning them out thinking, oh, man. So I have to move the wasps because the wasps are in the dehydrator.
We had a crazy wasp bee picture last week of this crazy nest that they had built were building a nest in it.
I heard that when I was driving. I heard you guys talking about that.
So quickly tell us about your wasp thing, what that's going on.
Oh, wow.
I'm showing her
that
picture of the wasp nest on the railroad tie.
That is so cool. Well, my wasps are those, the flat wasps, the ones that just build the thing that looks like just one honeycomb stuck under the rafters and things. And they're very calm. They're so calm. It just blows me away. And they got on the door of the dehydrator. So luckily I have a dead dehydrator and the doors are exactly the same. So I'm going to take the dehydrator door from the good dehydrator and put it on the dead dehydrator in the exact same spot, and I think they're going to be happy. And then I'm going to take the door from the dead dehydrator and put it on the good dehydrator and move it. somewhere else altogether.
Oh, boy, that's tricky.
Yeah.
Let's see how smart these creatures are.
Well, you know what? I think they're going to be just fine. I'm going to wait till tonight when it's cool.
Sure.
And they'll be fine.
All right.
They all come back home at night, and they'll all be there, and they're
not
even...
Do it calmly, and they know you?
No, they totally know me, you know? I looked at them in the middle of the day today. They didn't care.
Yeah.
Right on.
But this is cool.
All right, wasp doctor.
That's really cool. That's a beautiful
thing. Yeah, that picture's awesome, really.
Wow.
All right. I want to let you know about what's going on Redlands Mesa again this year. And this is going to be Saturday, September 9th. And there's tours of farms and gardens. Lance, your garden is one of them.
Yeah.
And farm-to-table lunch up there, demonstrations, door prizes, all kinds of things. So we'll be talking about it. But I just want to give you the information right now. You can go to purchase your tickets online at www.redlandsmesagrange.weebly.com. And if you do that before September 4th, you're eligible for door prizes. But this is going to be a great, great event going on up in Redlands. What's up on Redlands Mesa? A lot.
A lot.
A lot goes on up there. A lot
and
of good
happy
people
hour
up there.
At Jackrabbit Hill Winery. You didn't tell them about the best part.
Well, whip it out there, Dolly. We got to sign off. Tell them what's going on.
Jackrabbit Winery and the Solar Brothers, and it's from 4 to 7 p.m.
What else you got?
All kinds of stuff. Farm to table, farmer's market, Asian market, artisan market.
Alpacas.
Oh, gosh.
High Wire
everything.
Elk and Buffalo Ranch, Hakuna Matata, alpacas, Empowered Energy System, Dave and Lisa's Cobb House up there.
Oh, that is so cool. Everybody needs to go see that.
Yeah. Peace and Plenty Farm, and of course, Lance Swaggart's Garden.
Oh, I'm going.
Redlands Grange, Mesa.
I'm going.
All right. It is One Woman's Perspective coming up next on KVNF. Thanks so much for listening and for your calls. See you two next week.
Okay.
Good night, everybody.
Good night.
Good night. Thanks for listening to As the Worm Turns.
Which you can make both slow and faster. I don't know who you took a shine to or who you're about to make a sign to. I got a gal that I love so. Low, little, low, and low.